the unmistakable voice of Luciano Pavarotti, here singing from Puccini's Tosca. That voice will not be heard tonight at the gala opening of the Metropolitan Opera's season in New York. In fact, it won't be heard much at all this year, as the great tenor has drastically scaled back his performance schedule. Joining us to talk about the world of opera post-Pavarotti is Brian Kello, who's features editor of Opera News Magazine. Welcome to the program, Mr. Kello.
Thank you very much.
First of all, how big a loss is it to opera that Pavarotti is no longer on the scene?
Well, I think his retirement has created a tremendous void. There's no question about it. Even given the fact that he was not singing terribly well in the last few years, I think it's important to remember that there's a lot of talk about trying to anoint a successor to Pavarotti. Well, Pavarotti himself did not succeed anyone. There was no one in the decade or two before Pavarotti came along who captured the public imagination to the degree he did. He really was a phenomenon unto himself.
Well, with that proviso in mind, who are the men who might conceivably over the coming years rise to prominence post-Pavarotti?
I think there are a number of very talented tenors right now. The one that I am most interested in, I would say, is the Italian tenor Marcello Giordani, who has had a great deal of success both in Europe and in the U.S. Over the past several years.
We actually have a selection of Giordani singing from Verdi's Traviata.
Libiamo nei lieti calici che la bellezza in fiora e la fuggevol, fuggevol, ora si nebria voluta. Libiam nei dolci fremiti che suscita la...
Marcello Giordani urging us to drink from the beginning of Traviata. What do you hear in his voice? What is it that stands out that makes him different from the rest?
Well, to me, I think it's a wonderful, free Italian sound. I think it's a wonderful, radiant tone that he has, and there's great joy in his singing. He also has a tremendous ability to sing softly, which not every tenor does.
Okay, Marcello Giordani, who next?
Another tenor that interests me a great deal is one who has come up quite recently, Juan Diego Flores, and he is a Peruvian tenor who specializes in Rossini. He has wonderful facility, a beautiful, smoothly connected voice.
Let's hear a little bit of him singing from the Italian in Algiers. I don't know what he looks like on stage, but it sounds almost effortless the way he hits those notes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, I feel like we're in one of those game shows. Who's Bachelor number three?
Well, Bachelor number three, I would say, would probably be Ramon Vargas. Well, he's not in the mold of the sort of heat-generating, exciting tenor. He's a very elegant singer. He's a marvelous musician. He has a wonderful, pure legato line, an absolutely beautiful tone. He is not going to reach the heights, perhaps, that some of his colleagues may, simply because he is not a media figure. He is not interested remotely in being a media figure. He's interested in being a good singer, which he most assuredly is.
Here's a recording, or a bit of a recording, of Ramon Vargas singing Maria Elena.
Porque eres tú mi querer. es mi corazón, no sol de mi querer.
Ramón Vargas.
Isn't that wonderful? I just love that.
Just beautiful, sentimental singing.
One thing I wanted to say about all four of the gentlemen that we're talking about, a very important common denominator that they have is that they all sound like themselves. Mm-hmm. They do not produce a manufactured fake sound, and I think that's wonderful.
Well, as you say, you've come up with four men we're talking about. We've heard from three of them so far. Batting cleanup.
Jose Cura.
Jose Cura,
Wonderful Argentinian tenor. A dramatic tenor, a true dramatic tenor, with a very dark, kind of burnished sound, a little like Plácido Domingo. And he's absolutely thrilling on stage, so I think he'll have a wonderful career.
Here we have a bit of Cura singing Vesti la Giubba from I Pagliacci by Elenco Vallo. He does a pretty good guy in pain there.
Right.
Great presence on the stage.
Wonderful magnetism. A very, very fine actor. We don't have a lot of those today who have that kind of electrifying presence. The moment he walks on stage, you really can't look anywhere else.
Now, as you have cautioned us, Luciano Pavarotti didn't succeed somebody else as being the great figure of opera.
No.
Is it likely that one of these men will succeed him over the coming years as a great figure, a great superstar of opera?
No, absolutely not. I think that's a safe bet. You have a tremendous leap from Caruso to Pavarotti, and certainly there were many, many great tenors between Caruso and Pavarotti, but there was never really anybody who mattered on that scale. And I think it's completely unfair and unreasonable to expect that any of the four men we've heard today will accomplish that. But they are going to have, I'm sure, wonderful and rich careers that give a great deal of pleasure to a great many people.
Brian Kello, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Brian Kello, who's the features editor for Opera News Magazine on the world of opera post-Pavarotti.